You're listening to State of Affairs on WFPL. I'm Cameron Lawrence. Our topic this hour, employee morale. My guests are management consultant Brayton Bowen. He is president of the consulting firm The Howland Group and author of the recent book, Recognizing and Rewarding Employees. And Kent Hall is president-elect of the Louisville chapter of the Society for Human Resource Management. He's also director of human resources in the Jefferson County Clerk's Office. Listeners, you can join the conversation at 814-8255, that's 814-TALK, or toll-free 1-877-814-TALK. Robert's on the line. Hi, Robert. You're on the air.
Yes. My comment was that employees can really never be expected to be more loyal to the company than they perceive the company to be loyal to them. And as the companies show that less interest in employees, the more likely the success of the company is going to fail. And do you have any words on that issue?
That's an excellent point. Robert, I can't agree wholeheartedly. I think I can't agree more with your comment because we're seeing a backlash or a necessary or almost an expected result from employers not showing loyalty to their employees. And so employees have turned right around and not shown loyalty to their employer. And this is a problem that we have to wrestle with now. I think the issue of that you had brought up as far as loyalty is a very interesting issue, because who are you loyal to? I think a lot of people are loyal to themselves, but when they join an organization, they should be loyal to the values and the mission and the purpose for that organization. And I getting everybody to kind of work together toward those chief ends is what management is supposed to be all about. That becomes a really big challenge in some organizations.
You know, I think Robert's got a good point. We're in a climate where we hear a lot of talk about globalization, and a lot of companies are seen answering first and foremost to stockholders in the company. Mm-hmm. And so there is an easy justification of a big layoff, for example, which employees are probably going to interpret as disloyalty to some long-term employees.
Well, and the other side of that I had was that the people that usually get laid off in downsizing are the people that are in the best opportunity to help the company be successful. And the senior manager is relying on a middle manager who probably has more of the ideas and maybe more in touch with the creative portion of the company, and that ends up being the person that's laid off. So your worker bee isn't going to come up with the ideas to support and make the company successful. And so you pretty much shot yourself in the foot as far as the opportunity to find success, especially in such a competitive environment.
I also wonder about the issue of when you say a long-term employee, what does that really mean? That definition has changed quite a bit over time. But what is the value of a long-term employee to an organization? That also runs in cycles. Sometimes being a long-term employee is very valuable to certain organizations and certain industries at certain times, but that becomes less valuable over time. Organizations really struggle in a particular area. Also, this issue you talk about, downsizing, how do you respond to downsizes in the economy and to a drop-off of the demand for your product line or something? You have to respond appropriately. Management can only respond to what they know. And so sometimes I think we have issues of maybe the best decision isn't always made, but a decision has to be made. And sometimes there's timeliness issues, there's issues with whether or not they have full information.
I have a slightly different perspective, and to a large extent I agree with what our caller has had to say as well as Kent, but I come back to the notion of relationship. I think that for the most part we understand full well, the American worker in this country understands that layoff is a condition of the job market. The degree to which morale can be enhanced is the degree to which we are honest with one another in the workplace, and that we don't create the illusion that as long as everybody does their job and we're all happy team members, that this job is going to be here certainly for some period of time. Nobody expects this job to be here for life. But the degree to which we are honest about that, I think, is very important.
Robert, thanks for the call. Brayton Bowen, to follow up on that, what if there is a big layoff coming? Are there specific things that the management of an organization can do, given that 200 or 300 people are going to be laid off, to help those individuals, and then secondarily to help maintain morale for those who are going to stay behind at the company?
I think responsible organizations, responsible leaders do have to address the needs both of the people who are being laid off and the people who are remaining in the work environment. The degree to which we can help those people who are going through a transition out of the organization, leave the organization with dignity, and the degree to which we are supportive of helping them find opportunities with other organizations is the degree to which I think companies are responsible. Not everybody has to behave that way, however. For example, in Vermont, there are a number of companies in one particular community where, in times of downturn, they are actually releasing their employees temporarily. They're not terminating from the payroll, and they are sharing their employees with other businesses that may be in an up cycle or a stronger cycle. And so they're giving them sort of temporary leaves, if you will. I think we need to be innovative and creative in this kind of economy, in this new world economy. And we need to be looking at new forms of currency to recognize and reward employees.
Back to something you said just a moment ago about allowing laid-off employees to leave with dignity. Often what happens is the boss comes in and says, there's been a layoff. You're one of the people who's going to be laid off. You need to be gone by 2 o'clock this afternoon. Gather your things in a box and out the door.
Right.
That's not very dignified, and yet some management feels that they have to do that to get the person out the door in case there's some resentment and they might strike out.
I think that's true. But again, the degree to which we are concerned about our relationship with people, the degree to which we are concerned about our reputation as a company, the degree to which we are concerned about our reputation in the community as a responsible employer, is the degree to which we need to behave responsibly toward one another. Employees and managers. Certainly, if we're really looking at people holistically, if we're treating people as people, we're going to be more responsible in our communications.
Listeners, 814-8255, 814-TALK to join the conversation about employee morale. What do you think helps foster good employee morale? What destroys it? Our number for you to share your thoughts, 814-TALK or toll-free, 1-877-814-TALK. One of the things that sometimes happens is that new people are hired into an organization at higher salary levels than long-time employees. That has got to be difficult for those long-termers and has got to affect morale. It's happening more in a tight labor market. Is that a bad thing for management to do to try to attract talented employees?
It's certainly a reality of the workplace. I think it becomes more problematic where companies have not kept pace with what's going on in the marketplace. They've not adjusted their structure, and there's a way of sort of getting by not adjusting the rates of people who are in the organization. It becomes problematic, obviously, when we hire somebody into the organization and we have to pay them competitively. If there's not been an adjustment in the rest of the structure, then that aberration or that difference is going to be exaggerated. It'll be visible to everybody. The solution is designing different systems that reward people based on the competencies and skills that they are exhibiting, that they are called to do. We need to be looking more at blended responsibilities and pay banding, to use a technical term, in order to address the flexibility that we need in the marketplace and the competitiveness that we need in the marketplace.
Okay, let's go back to the phones. George is on the line from Louisville. Hi, George. You're on the air.
Good afternoon.
Hi.
How are you?
Good, thanks. You got a question for us?
Primarily a comment.
Yeah, go
from
ahead.
A management perspective.
Sure.
I have encountered also where the search for new employees coming from the new labor market come into the workplace, and you have existing employees who are quite possibly making a lower wage than the person who's just coming in. And I think that what we miss here is that we do want to have retention. We don't want to lose the experience of the existing employee base, but we still want to bring in top talent. And the way I've tried to make that balance is to go forward with a single request for that particular employee and present the value that that person has to our company, our organization, and see if I can get them up to a competitive wage of the person that I have just brought in.
Mm-hmm. Sounds like a solution.
I think that's an enlightened manager that we just heard from.
Hmm. I think employers should make efforts to try and be responsive to people's needs. And when I say that, I think about in terms of we conduct exit interviews for people who leave the organization. A lot of times they'll talk about how they didn't feel, they say a lot of things, but in, underneath it all, it seems to be a lack of respect. I didn't feel like I was valued, which seems to me to be a lot of what declining morale is about. And if organizations can't respond to those needs, just like Brayton said, on a more localized basis, because a lot of times you'll see morale being localized or morale problems being localized to specific parts or segments of the organization. You can identify those areas and try to address what are the needs of those employees. You probably have a much better idea for how to proceed with improving morale.
And Cameron, if I can add, we've been talking about pay and pay equity. And I have to say right out, and again, which is one of the reasons why I wrote the book, pay is very important. Make no mistake. We have to receive an appropriate amount of compensation for what we do, but it is the fifth most important factor as to why people come to work. Not the first, not the second, not the third, but the fifth most important factor. And after our break, I hope we'll talk about other ways.
Yes, I do want to talk about those five things. And George, I want to thank you for the call. We are going to take a short break now, listeners. When we come back, we'll take more of your calls at 814-8255, 814-TALK, or toll-free 1-877-814-TALK. We have some callers holding. We'll get to you right after the break, and we'll continue our conversation about workplace morale. You're listening to State of Affairs on WFPL.